Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me now, Margot Zen, owner, mortgage broker, and chef. Are you a chef?
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't know where I found that. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Margot Zen.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Diversified mortgage. Your background, you were, was it Wells Fargo? You were bank manager for like 12, 15 years or something?
Well, I held several positions with them, but my most recent position with them was district manager.
Oh, district manager.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then she decided to become a mortgage broker and did that and started her own business. And I just finished the first segment talking about the fourth quarter of 2010 and comparing the number of sales and the average sales price for the year versus 2009 was actually up 30% and numbers were up. What's going on? You can't speak for all mortgage brokers, but what's going on with your business and what sense you have for the business?
I would say we're probably up 30%. Well, fourth quarter for 2010 was probably at least 30, if not closer to 40% busier for us than it was in 2009, mainly because interest rates were quite low towards the end of 2010, so that really sparked a pretty good refi craze for a couple of months.
And then I guess the follow-up question would be, what percentage of your business, and if you can comment on other, you know, business, is refinancing versus new sales?
Well, that's the interesting thing, because based on what I just said, you would think that I would say that we did a lot more refis at the end of 2010 than we did in 2009, but that's not really the case. According to the numbers that I have, for 2009, we did about 70% refis in the fourth quarter to overall transactions. In the fourth quarter of 2010, it seemed to me that it was about half and half. So we were really busy because refis were definitely up, but also it seems like the purchase market has definitely picked up for those of us brokers that have been out there pounding the pavement and trying to establish some good relationships with real estate agents. So it was I definitely can speak for myself and my company. 2010, the fourth quarter was one of our better quarters since the mortgage meltdown. Now, if you start from going back to 2005 and 2006, the numbers don't even compare. But if you just go back a year, then definitely it was a better year.
Right. So that's good. And that means that jives with the increase in the number of sales. I'm glad to see you're getting your share of some of those new buyers going there and buying property. I wrote an offer over the weekend, and I wrote an offer. I'm in escrow on another property, and both of them all cash. So that leaves you out swinging.
Well, you're not selling my goods, Mark.
We don't need you.
All cash buyers are hard to overcome.
I think I should just work with all cash buyers. This whole loan contingency is just a fly in the ointment. We just want to head straight to close.
I think you probably speak what most realtors would like to have.
Well, you know, I'm kidding. And in a serious vein, how is the path to closing and doing loans? And do you find that, you know, with all these new rules and regulations, it's a stumbling block and a hindrance, and people are not getting what they want to get?
Yeah, I think for what we had for 2010 and going into 2011 is pretty much what we're going to live with. I mean, I think this is what the mortgage market is going to look like for probably the next 5 to 7 years. So I think I've tried to approach it from a learning standpoint instead of saying, oh, this is, you know, so much harder than it used to be and we have to jump through so many more hoops. But, I mean, and approach it like this is what we're going to live with. And so I've tried to educate myself and my staff in what it is that we have now and how it try to make that become the norm. And so in saying that, I would say that it's, you know, yes, it's still hard to get a mortgage, but there are certain, you know, the guidelines are what they are. It's pretty clear. And if you know what those are, then you know if you're going to get one or not. So, you know, there's stumbling blocks along the way. There's a lot of underwriters that aren't up to speed on what they need to be doing. And it's our job as brokers, and, you know, when we represent our clients, to help them through that. And if you work with a good broker, you will find that things do go smoother because we you know, it's our job to educate ourselves and help our clients through the process.
I think one of the questions people have, talking with Margot Zenn from Diversified Mortgage, if you have a question, 452-2428, 452-CHAT, C-H-A-T. One question would be, when you meet a client and you get that, you know, people talking about pre-approval, pre-qualified, you like to meet people and literally give them a stamp of approval. And so at that point, you try to do all that research up front, right?
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what a pre-qualification and what a pre-approval and what an approval is. And I think if you as a borrower have not gotten a mortgage in the last 3 years, then you owe it to yourself to go through a full approval process and not just a pre-approval. Because so many things have changed, and although you may have been a very qualified borrower before 2007, but things are totally different now. So if you're looking to buy a house and you have not had a mortgage in the last 3 years, make yourself go through a full approval with somebody in the mortgage industry, either a broker or a direct lender, or me, call me, I'll do it, and make sure that, you know, make sure you've gone through that process, because I have clients call me every day that say, okay, here's my, you know, here's what I need, you know, can you do it? And it's oftentimes completely different than what they thought they were going to hear. So it's an important thing to do if you're in the market.
And I might point out that I agree with what you said, but on the other hand, someone shouldn't just say, well, you know, I might buy a house in the next 6 to 12 months, so maybe I should immediately go out and get approval, because then you don't want to go out and get 2 or 3 approvals, because then it could be bad for you. So maybe you want to do some homework and pick someone that you think will work for you and then pull the trigger.
Absolutely. The more your credit's pulled, the more your credit score goes down. And everything today in mortgages is credit score driven. So if you're at a 720 today and you have your credit pulled a bunch and your credit score drops to, let's say, 715, which isn't a big amount of points, but 720 is a huge benchmark for getting the best interest rate. So it's really, really important that you don't have your credit pulled too much and that you do find somebody that you can work with, that you trust, and that you believe has the ability to do the things that you need from your mortgage person. And the beauty of one of the great things about the mortgage meltdown is it has really narrowed the playing field about who is still left doing loans. So I would say that if you interview your mortgage person and they've been doing this since before 2007 and survived, they've got to be a pretty good mortgage person, because it has not been easy.
Well, you know, I have some bullet points that we were going to talk about, and I haven't gotten to any of them because I started off on this tangent. But I like, you know, it's like the pilot said to the co-pilot, I don't know where we're going, but we're making good time. But since you said that, I'm looking at your third bullet point that we were going to talk, and you said perhaps some lenders reemerging into the mortgage market, which you take as a good sign, and you referenced, for example, GMAC Bank. So why don't we talk about that? But it was kind of, but you said it the way you just phrased it was one of the benefits of the mortgage meltdown. You don't hear that phrase too often, but.
There have been some.
Before you answer that question about GMAC and some of these positive signs you see, this thing about your credit score going down because you're getting a credit check?
Yes.
I mean, can't they distinguish between someone doing things willy-nilly versus someone trying to be thorough and trying to do their homework? I mean, isn't it insane?
There's two different kinds of credit check. If you as a consumer go online and check your own credit, that does not count against you. You have to pay for it, but it doesn't count against you. But if I as a mortgage person go in and pull your credit and it's a true credit inquiry, then that's when it starts to bring your credit score down. And the reason for that is if you're out trying to buy something, credit bureaus are always at least 30, if not 45 days behind. So if you've had your credit checked a whole bunch in the last couple of weeks, we cannot, as creditors, determine whether or not you've opened a lot of new credit debt because it hasn't caught up with it yet. So if you have a bunch of inquiries in the last couple of weeks, it will bring your score down, because it's to alert us as creditors that possibly you have more debt than we can rely on the credit report, and that's why it does it.
And so versus what you called a mortgage broker credit inquiry, That's what triggers it. Versus, you said a personal. Say that again. What could someone do on their own?
If you go online and do your own credit check, which means you go to like Equifax.com and you go on and view your own credit report, that is not a ding against you because it's not for a new credit. It's not to open new credit. It's just to see what your credit is doing, and that's okay.
And I seem to read sometimes where people recommend that people do that on an annual basis, and do you think that that's prudent?
I think that everybody should have some kind of credit response system set up, and I'm not sure that's the right word, but basically you can pay a company a certain few dollars a month and they will notify you anytime anything on your credit report changes. A lot of credit card companies offer that as a benefit to you being a cardholder, some things like that, and that way if someone's pulled your credit or you have a late payment reported, something like that, they notify you right away, and what it's supposed to do is prevent any identity theft. And that's a really good thing. I do mine through American Express. I think it's $9.95 a month, and they send me, every time someone pulls my credit, I get a notification, and also they give me a quarterly summary of the changes of my credit, which is a really good thing to do.
And do they also notify you if your husband Mike takes your credit card and goes buy a big screen TV?
No, unfortunately not.
So I should contact my credit card company and see if they offer that or if they do that. I know they're pretty good. Like if suddenly you had someone who never travels and all of a sudden down in Ecuador, there's thousands of dollars of purchases, I think they might call you, right?
Right. But what if they've stolen your name, your Social Security number, and your address, and now they're down opening new accounts? That's where the credit monitoring thing helps you.
Boy, thanks a lot for making me worry about something else now. I thought my life was filled with angst, and now you've added to it. I kind of knew all about this before, but I just kind of ignored it. And, with today's day, you got to really do it. You got to be proactive. Credit monitoring. So contact your credit card companies. Talking with Margot Zenn, owner, mortgage broker, and aspiring chef, Diversified Mortgage. So I don't know how long we've been talking. Let's finish this one topic and then take a break and come back and talk about rates today and where they're headed and some ideas to own your home sooner, recasting your mortgage, alternative to mortgages, maybe reverse mortgages. But we do have time because my trusty engineer knows sign language, and I guess we've been talking for 12 minutes. As compared to the first segment when he gave me some sign when he was having an epileptic seizure. I didn't know what he was trying to tell me. It was just... So talk about the positive... What you see as a positive sign, you mentioned GMAC Bank as an example. What are the positive reemerging signs?
Well, I think when you and I talked, we agreed that we should try and talk about something positive. Which, like you said earlier, in the mortgage business, is hard to do these days.
Well, I try to talk about positive things, but I also always want to keep it real and always want to be, frank. And so I'll be Frank, you be Margot. Go ahead.
Okay. I think there's two things that we should focus on that are positive right now. I think the changes that we've had since 2007 are going to ultimately end up being positive for all of us, that hope the economy improves. Because what it's going to do is allow us to... it takes a lot of the gray area out of what you can and cannot qualify for, and it also will stabilize the housing market. I really believe that. So I think we are taking the right steps. I also think one of the good signs about what's going on right now is as we look for signs to see if our economy is improving, is the fact that there are some large financial institutions out there that are starting to talk about jumping back into the mortgage market, whether it be retail or working through brokers like myself or both. And so one of the biggest ones that have announced recently that they are diving back into the mortgage market is GMAC Bank, which most of you know right now is Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y. They've been advertising pretty good CD rates and some other things through their bank. They're more of an internet bank than they are of a walk-into-your-branch bank, but they have decided to start working with brokers like myself. They announced it a couple weeks ago. They've hired some local people. They just hired one of my favorite people down in Santa Barbara to be their kind of account executive for that area, and I'm excited about it. They bring a lot of conservative lending to the table, which I think can be good in the long run, and I'm kind of excited to be able to work with them. So I think that's a really good sign that somebody this large, Ally Bank, for those of you that don't know, is part of the larger GMAC, the General Motors Acceptance Corporation. They used to run under GMAC Financial. They also used to own one of the large internet mortgage companies, which they used to do the craziest mortgage ads, and at the moment their name escapes me. But, you know, so they were tracked heavy when they were having all those problems with the auto side of their company, and now it looks like they're starting to jump back in. So I think that's a really good sign.
And so they were heavily involved, which means they probably took a big hit.
They took a big hit. They ran a retail and a wholesale division, which they took a big hit. However, they weren't one of the more goofier lenders out there. I mean, they didn't do a lot of the negative amortization stuff. They didn't do a lot of stated income. In my opinion, in the mortgage craziness, they were one of the more conservative ones. So I think where they really took their hits was on their auto side, obviously, just like all the other auto dealers did. So, you know, an auto manufacturer. So I think now that that has started to even out and they're starting to pay back the money that they borrowed from the government, I think that they'll get back in and have a good approach to the business because they've done it before.
And so that's good for real estate. It's good for you. It's good for buyers and sellers. And it's good for the economy overall.
Absolutely. It gives the consumers another choice of a company they want to choose, which was the scariest thing about the mortgage retraction is it started to end up looking like we were going to have two or three players in it, which is never good. You know, you give those big guys too much of the market, and you know, then they end up not doing the right thing. So I think the more companies that jump back in, the better it will be for all of us.
Well, the fact that you were able to survive because the mortgage brokers such as yourself, you know, a lot of people went by the wayside.
A lot of people did, and it was a pretty scary time. I mean, a lot of us really had to revamp our whole marketing plan and our whole business plan to be able to keep afloat. And then one of the things that we did that was, you know, in hindsight seemed really smart, I think it was just luck if you want to know the truth, is that we really always kind of ran lean and mean. You know, I had 10 branch locations, but we never got tied into big leases, and you know, we didn't hire a lot of people. When you call one of my offices, sometimes I answer the phone. You know, we don't have secretaries to pay to answer the telephones. And, you know, we're all willing to kind of get in there and wear whatever hat it takes to get the business done. And I think those are the companies that you see that have survived out there that just didn't have a ton of overhead.
Speaking of overhead, we're going to play a commercial. But we're going to keep you on the phone. We're going to continue talking with Margo Zinn, Diversified Mortgage. If you have a question for her after the program, 805 area code 708-3216, 708-3216 for Margo Zinn, Diversified Mortgage Broker. And we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about rates and recasting your mortgage and maybe even have time for reverse mortgages. Hopefully we'll run out of time and leave them wanting more. How's that sound, Margo?
Sounds good.
Okay, the rest of you stay tuned. You'll be right back.